Hi, my name is Emily Chadbourne, and welcome to Unashamedly Human, the podcast, where we explore how we can better understand our thoughts, feelings, and actions, change our results, and feel less alone as we navigate that crazy thing called life. This show is sponsored by absolutely bloody nobody because, well, no one is willing to pay me for this shit yet. But I am a huge believer in supporting other small businesses that I love and fellow entrepreneurs who, like me, are trying to make the world a better place. So if you hear me recommend or promote other coaches, products or services, please know that it's not an ad. I just want to share the love. Also, though, if you did want to sponsor me, I would completely be okay with that. So you could email me at info@emilychadbourne.com. Do Chanel sponsor podcasts? Hello and welcome to Unashamedly Human, the podcast. This is episode 8. I am your host, Emily Chadbourne, and I want to start today by shouting out to my dad for his 72nd birthday. Happy birthday, Roger. You bloody legend. Not that Roger has ever listened to an episode of Unashamedly Human, nor would he ever, I imagine. Honestly, the idea of sitting down with Roger and explaining the concept of a podcast, then taking him through the navigation of the internet to find said podcast, fills me with absolute dread. Instead, I will just leave him to his cassette tapes. Yes, my dad still has a cassette tape player. And still listens to his cassette tapes. I will just leave Roger with his cassette tapes. Roger, even though you're never going to hear this, happy birthday. Thanks for being my dad. All right, so this week I want to talk about a theme that has been kind of like coming up and slapping me in the face, both through my own personal development work, I'm always working on myself, but also it seems to be a theme that's coming up with my clients at the moment, clients that run through my Next Level Results program and my private VIP clients. And the theme is this: can you have it all? Is it possible to have it all? And how has the idea of having it all been severely misinterpreted in the modern world? So the first thing that kind of piqued my attention on this is a book that I am reading, or rereading actually, which I always think is a sign of a bloody good book. It is a book by Dolly Alderton. She's a British journalist, and the book is called Everything I Know About Love. It's her first published book, and it's a memoir, if you like, of her sort of early years and into her early 20s living and working in London. And it really is like an extended love letter to her girlfriends and to her friendship group. Her writing is just divine. It's elegant, it's interesting, it sparkles off the page, and it's so emotive. I love everything about this book, and I resonate with so much of it really, really dearly. You know, growing up in the UK myself and having a very privileged life there, and then, you know, heading off to university and having a dear group of friends who, you know, I could not have lived those years without. It's definitely worth a read for anybody whose interest is piqued. I will link Dolly Alderton's website where you can find the book, and also the two podcasts that she does. One is called Love Stories, and the second she does with another British journalist called Pandora Sykes, which is called The High Low, which is probably, if I'm going to be honest, my top podcast of the moment. She writes in her book, Everything I Know About Love, I'm so grateful that I fetishized. Whew, that was hard for my mouth. I'm so grateful that I fetishized the measured out in coffee spoons minutiae of adulthood so vividly as a teenager, because the relief of finally getting there meant I have found very little of it to be a burden. I have loved paying my own rent. I've adored cooking for myself every day. I even used to get a thrill sitting in the GP's waiting room, knowing I registered and got myself there without the help of anyone else. In my first year of bill paying, I'd practically go weak-kneed over a letter from Thames Water addressed to me. I would happily take on the administrative weight of responsibility that comes with being an adult in exchange for the knowledge that I always have the freedom to go to the pub on my own and make friends with any old man any day of the week. And the reason that I wanted to highlight that particular passage of this glorious book today is because it ties in really beautifully with this idea of can you have it all? I think can you have it all has become really bastardized. I think it gives the impression that you can have absolutely anything and everything without any payoff. You don't have to work hard, you can just get everything. That you don't need to sacrifice, things can just come to you. That you can have, be and do absolutely anything without making any change. And what I love about this passage that Dolly Alderton wrote in her book about the idea of having worked out what the realistic expectation of being an adult was going to deliver her meant that she was never disappointed by adulthood. Now, if you're anything like me, I was so fucking disappointed with adulthood for so long. I was fucked off, man. I was annoyed that adulthood was so full of responsibility. It was so full of problem. It was so full of soul searching. It was so full of unanswered questions. And when I was a teenager, I just thought, like many others, I'm sure, that once I got to adulthood, everything would be figured out. There would be the answers there. It would be easy there. All of the pathways would be made clear there. The angst would stop. The horrendous feeling of, am I enough? Am I good enough? Does that person like me? Does that person fancy me? What do I need to do to join in with this crowd, to be accepted here? I thought that would all abate. It doesn't. The reality is there is huge responsibility that comes with adulthood. The payoff for that is the freedom of adulthood, the freedom of choice, which most of us, if you're listening to this podcast right here, right now, I'm just going to assume that you are listening in the Western world, that you therefore live in this sort of privilege. You know, we do have choice. It's very easy, I think, to forget that we have that choice. It's such a disappointment to realize that that choice comes with a whole heap of responsibility. And what Dolly Alderton, I think, really laid out in that particular passage was that she had thought about the burden of responsibility that adulthood would bring. And she was happy for that burden because she also knew that the payoff was the freedom to go to the pub, the freedom to stay up late, the freedom to work late at night, the freedom to be who she was going to grow into being. And I didn't take that step as a human being. I just thought adulthood would have all the answers for me. I thought going to business for myself would solve so many problems. I thought that a relationship would make my life easier. I thought all of these things without really asking myself, what's the payoff? Can you have it all? There is always a payoff. What is the payoff? This also came to me in the media this week. I was trawling through the Metro UK, which is like a British tabloid. So, you know, high quality news. And this article kind of popped up about Meghan Markle. She went to Wimbledon and she took a couple of mates. They were in the royal box watching Serena Williams play on court one. Media consultant Sally Jones has claimed in the Telegraph that she was taking pictures of Serena Williams when a member of the royal protection team came up to her and asked her not to take photographs because Meghan was sat in the box and Meghan did not want public pictures being taken of her. Now, Piers Morgan, again, top quality bloke. That was me being very sarcastic. The guy's a bit of a prick, right? But my personal thoughts on Piers Morgan aside, Piers Morgan went live on Good Morning Britain and he had this to say about this particular incident.
And she went to the royal box. It's an absolute joke. I'm sorry. You got to work out where you want to be, Meghan and Harry. Do you want to be private? Do you want to be public? Because this is a joke. If you go to Wimbledon in your free tickets in the royal box, the best seats in the house for nothing, and you take your two bezzies, right, and you sit them next to you, and they're getting free seats in the best place in the house to watch it.
Take pictures.
You're public people, all of you. In that moment, you're public people. Stop your squealing about privacy. We don't want to hear it.
Look, despite what you think about Piers Morgan, he's got a kind of a point, hasn't he, really? Which is, if you go and put yourself into the public arena by marrying the Prince of England, you then choose to go to a public, globally televised event and sit in the royal box at Wimbledon, you are going to have people coming up and taking pictures of you. And if you don't want that, then you have got to make different decisions because that is going to be the reality. That is the payoff. That is the cause and effect. That is what is going to happen. Again, Piers Morgan's delivery, always questionable. But in this particular sense, I think the man has a point. If you're anything like me, your first thought in the morning is often one of, oh, holy fuck. We wake up instantly feeling like we're in lack. Not enough sleep, not enough time, not enough. We scroll through social media and feel not enough. We think about our day ahead and feel underprepared, uninspired, or overwhelmed. What if we're not enough? Before we're even out of bed, our mind is telling us all sorts of crazy stories, and these stories set the precedent for our day and have a huge effect on our results. Imagine if you could start your day with a different thought. Imagine waking up to a daily reminder of the greatness that lies within you. Imagine having your own personal and funny cheerleader inspiring you every single day. Imagine your first waking thought being one of abundance and purpose. Well, imagine no longer, my friend, because now you can wake up with M. Wake Up with M is a text message service for women who are ready to wake up to their power, purpose, and passion. A daily motivational message from me personally to get you smiling into your day and vibing high from the moment you wake up, and all for less than the price of a couple of lattes a month. And even better, you get the first month completely for free. Because, well, you know, you might actually find it really annoying to have a daily reminder that you're amazing and capable and awesome. Head to emilychadbourne.com/wakeup or check out the link in the show notes below.
Good morning, you're awesome.
The third thing that happened to me this week that really evoked this sort of thought in my brain about the idea of cause and effect, the idea of can you have it all, was a blog that I wrote, you're welcome, about my decision not to have children as it stands at the moment. And I reserve the right to change my mind, but I'm 38 and in a relationship. And so far, not one of my ovaries has made any kind of noise. I love children. I adore children. I'm not a horrendous person who has no feeling. Believe me, I have been asked all of these questions. It's just that I have given it such consideration. For such a long time, I genuinely thought, yeah, I'm going to have kids. I just assumed that the maternal instinct would kick in. There'd be a hormone that goes, oh my God, you got to have a baby. You got to do it now. I just assumed I'd meet the right person. It would be the right time. That's kind of how I thought all the way through my childhood, my teenage years, my 20s, really into my very early 30s. And it wasn't until I began to start really questioning the paradigm that I sat in, the societal conditioning that was influencing my beliefs, that was influencing my fears, my behavior, my expectation, my judgments of myself, of other people, that I felt from other people to myself. It wasn't until I started really going in deep and asking myself, who do I want to be? What do I want to achieve? What do I want to do? And am I willing to become the person to create that for myself? That I began questioning this paradigm that as a woman, I should have a kid, that as a woman, I should just follow the natural, and I'm using my fingers to do air quotes, the natural order of things, and reproduce. And when I really started asking myself, what are the consequences of having children? What will I get and what will I lose? And that language might sound really harsh, but it's the goddamn motherfucking truth. And I'm not going to shy away from that. If I choose to have children, I lose my sleep. If I choose to have children, I have to admit that likelihood is my vagina is never going to be the same again. If I choose to have children, my tits are going to go south. If I choose to have children, I will get to experience a love that no other love compares to. If I get to have children, I get to watch them grow. I get to watch them develop. I get to have that feeling of pride in my chest that potentially I might not get from watching anything else grow and flourish in the same way. I also have to appreciate that if I have children, I have to take holidays in the school holidays. I'm bound by school term times. I'm going to be covered in vomit a lot of the time. I'm going to potentially argue with my partner in a way that I've never had my relationship tested before. There are pros and cons to absolutely everything. And instead of blindly following along and going, yeah, okay, I'll have a kid because I'm a woman, instead of doing that, I had this sort of moment in my early 30s where I went, hang on, if anything is possible, if I can have it all, having it all does not mean doing it all. It doesn't mean being it all, because that is, I see women try and do that as well, right? They try and keep the job, they try and have the kids, they try and be the wife, they try and be the Madonna whore, they try. Now, don't get me wrong, as a woman, I get to be, as a human, I get to be the full expression of myself. I get to be all of the archetypes. I get to play the maternal role, I get to play the bossy bitch, I get to play the dutiful wife, I get to play the sexy whore, I get to play all of the archetypes that are within me. I get to be the full expression. I'm the feminine, I'm the masculine, I'm the yin, I'm the yang, I'm the hot, I'm the cold. I get to be all of that. But what I don't get to be is the Meghan Markle of this world. I don't get to marry into the royal family and then demand that I have privacy when I go and sit in the royal box at Wimbledon. I don't get that. And I think what Dolly Alderton did in her younger years is she really weighed up the pros and cons of adulthood. And that's what I loved about that passage that I read earlier. She weighed up at a young age the pros and cons of adulthood. I am willing. No, I am excited about paying my bills, because for me, paying my bills means I am at a certain level of responsibility, and that responsibility opens the gateway for me to have adult freedom. I didn't do that. I went, oh, I'm just going to assume that once I get here, everything will be better. I think a lot of people do that with motherhood. I've seen that happen. I have evidence of that happening. I'm not saying that everyone does. I'm talking in sweeping generalizations. 7.4 billion people on this planet. I cannot speak for all of you. So with huge respect, keep your feedback to yourself on that. Like, I understand that everybody is different. I understand everyone's journey into motherhood is different. I know full well that there are people who've gone into motherhood and gone, holy fuck, I didn't think about what I was going to have to sacrifice. I didn't have the conversation with my partner about how we were actually going to play out these roles. We didn't have the foresight or the knowledge or the understanding or the training or the foundation or the framework to do this. And now I'm sinking in it. Now I'm trying to keep my job and I'm half-assing it. I'm trying to pick the kids up from the school gate every day and I feel like I'm half-assing that. I know many women who feel like they're trying to be everything and so therefore failing at all of it. I had the time or the space or went on my own personal development journey. I started unpacking my shit. I started unpacking who I am. I started genuinely asking the question, like really seriously, who the fuck do I want to be? What do I want to achieve? What do I want to do? What do I want to have? What do I want to contribute? And I had that space to turn around and go, actually, when I look at the person I want to be, and when I look at the business I want to build, when I look at the places I want to travel, when I look at the lifestyle that I want to have for myself, and some people want the lifestyle of motherhood. Some people unpack all of this. They look at it. They're prepared for it. They know it. They want it anyway. And that's fucking awesome. Go for it. You fucking go for yours, man. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not judging you what to do. Anyone who knows me has been following my shit for a while now. I'm the least judgmental person I know. I'm equally a very sarcastic and scathing person, but that's only in my own internal dialogue. When shit comes to shovel, man, you do you. You do you and you commit to you and you fucking go for your dreams. And if that dream is motherhood, fucking rock on. I support you wholeheartedly. How can I support you? For me, it wasn't. For me, when I really unpacked what motherhood meant in terms of sacrifice, it didn't sound good. The other sounded better. And that's not to say that I'm not allowed to grieve for not being a mother. That's not to say that I'm not starkly, acutely aware of what I'm going to be missing out on. But I also know that realistically, the lifestyle that I'm choosing for myself is the one that I desire. It's the one that I want. It's the one that I'm willing to become the person that I need to become for to create. That was terrible English. That wasn't even a sentence. Let's pretend those words didn't come out my mouth in that order. This is one of the questions that I ask my clients all of the time, and it's so important. When you sit down, when you start thinking about how you want your life to be, what it is that you want to have, what it is that you want to achieve, how you want to feel, and I suggest that everybody does this exercise. Put a date in your diary. Every single quarter, you revisit this. Who do I want to be? What do I want to have? How do I want to feel? Where am I going? Not in 20 years' time, not in 50 years' time, not like when you grow up, because fuck, man, that's like you're talking about another life. Like, give yourself year to 18 months. What do I want to achieve? Don't allow yourself to sit in the fucking circumstance of what you currently have, because if you sit in the circumstance of what you currently have, guess what you're going to get? More of what you've got already. You've got to lift yourself up outside of that circumstance. You've got to ask yourself, if I put down the bullshit I've been fed, if I put down the story, if I put down what my parents have told me, if I put down other people's judgment, if I put down the belief system that I currently have about what I can and cannot achieve, if I fuck all that off for a minute, if I live in this world of imagination, if I live in this world of play, if I go back to my childhood roots of curiosity, How would I like my life to be? And then you write all of that out in as much detail as you can. What's it going to look like? What's it going to sound like? What is it going to feel like? What's it going to fucking taste like? What is it going to smell like when you take a shit this time next year? What is it going to smell like when you wake up in the morning? What's the coffee going to taste like? What conversations are you going to be having? What music are you listening to? What hair salon are you going to be going to? You need to get really fucking detailed. How do you want to live your life? And you're not going to write it out like it's going to happen, or you want it to happen, or you wish it's going to happen. You're going to write it out like it's already happening. You're going to put yourself into your future, and you're just going to say, right, I am so grateful and thankful now that it is, insert date here. Don't make it any more than 18 months from now. And you are going to detail in a fantasy world exactly how you want to be living your life. And then you're going to ask yourself, am I willing to be the person who is going to make that happen? And a lot of the time, my friend, the answer is going to be no. And that's okay. Because if the answer is no, that's not your dream. That's not your goal. That's not your vision. That's not your mission. And I see women time and time again, they come to me, Em, I want this. And we do this exercise. I want to have X amount of money. I want to travel the world. I want to be able to provide this for my family. I want to have a family. Are you willing to become the person who is going to make that happen? I want to heal. I want to invest in myself. Are you willing to part with the money to make that happen? And if the answer is no, stop fucking banging on about it like it's something that you can't have. You can have it. You can have anything. But most people aren't willing to be the person to make that happen. You cannot sit in the royal box at Wimbledon and demand that the public don't take pictures of you. That's not the way it works. You can't sit there and say, I want to be a millionaire, but not take responsibility for the amount of money that you've currently got in your bank account. You don't get to sit there and say, I want to be richer than this, whilst you're busy ignoring your debt, or you're smoking away your money, or you're drinking away your money, or you're running to Kmart because you think that a pillow with the word love on it is going to make you feel complete. You don't get that. You don't get to be in a beautiful, gorgeous, connected relationship if you're not willing to go deep and be vulnerable and be seen and be heard and stand your ground and assert your boundaries and know your worth. You don't get that. You don't get to go out there and build an empire and run a business and become a coach and help other people and serve other people if you are not willing to face down your fear. You don't get that. You do not get to go out there and change the world, change your world, change the world for your children and exactly stay as you are right now. You don't get to go out there and act like the world owes you fucking something, because it fucking doesn't. You are one of 7.4 billion people on this planet. The universe owes you exactly jack shit. You've got to go out there and you've got to be willing to become the person that you want to become, to obtain the thing that you want to obtain, to have the lifestyle that you want to have. You've got to be willing. And if you're not willing, that's okay. Go and do something else. Come up with a different dream. Accept that maybe you love your problem. Accept that maybe you're not willing to give up your hurt yet. Accept you're not willing to let go of your ex. Accept it. That's cool, man. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a shit. But what you're not allowed to do is claim that you want something and want to stay exactly the same as you are now. Because that is the basic law of cause and effect. So start thinking, just like Dolly Alderton did in her teenage years, what is it really going to take for me to have what I want to have? And am I willing to become that person? Am I willing to break down my fear? Am I willing to break down my belief system? Am I willing to heal? Am I willing to forgive? Am I willing to learn how to love myself? Am I willing to learn how to contribute? Am I willing to learn about boundaries? Am I willing to learn about standards? Am I willing to raise my game? Am I willing to learn discipline? Am I willing to wake up every single morning and train my mind, my body, my soul? Because if you're not, you don't get the result. You don't get to sit on your ass and eat chocolate cake three times a day and in a year's time be in a fit and healthy and vital body and have avoided type 2 diabetes. It doesn't work like that. And I see people time and time and time again crave a different lifestyle for themselves, crave a different type of relationship, crave a different bank balance, crave different health, but they're not willing to become the person to make that change. They want to stay the same and they want their external reality to shift around them. And it's such a bitter pill to swallow, because we live in a world and our societal conditioning is so aimed at selling you the magic pill. You know, do my 12-week diet program, you'll have the body of your dreams. No, you won't. Your mindset hasn't changed. Your thinking hasn't changed. I have a whole module in Next Level Results, which is dedicated to habits, dedicated to you understanding how your brain is wired in terms of instant gratification over long-term gain. Because the more you understand why you think the way that you think, why you take the action that you take, you can change it. And not just in the short term, not just for instant results, not just so that you can get more, so that you can become more, so that you can have sustained change, so that you can find sustained self-worth, sustained self-love, sustained income, all of it. It's all possible. Yes, you can have it all, but you have to understand that in the process of having it all, you are going to have to be different. And if you're willing, if you're there, if that resonates, if you're loving that message, awesome. Drop me a line, get in touch, because I've got a program that would fucking suit you down to the ground. And if it's not my program, then believe me, I have a whole bank of practitioners who I know, love and trust, who I can refer you on to, because I'm not for everybody and everybody is not for me. That's cool, man. All good. I get that totally. But I do have, like I said, a whole bank of practitioners. Oh, excuse me. I just burped. Who I know, love and trust, who I can refer you on to. If you are willing to be the change, if you are willing to start saying, I can have it all, but in the process of having it all, I understand that I'm going to have to choose. I'm going to have to do something different. I'm going to have to invest that money in myself. I'm going to have to take that tight butt moment. I'm going to have to face my fear. I'm going to have to break down this barrier. I'm going to have to readdress the way that I've been thinking, the way that I've been acting, the way that I've been rocking up. That is having it all. That's what choice is. Having it all is choice. Having it all isn't doing it all. Having it all isn't having your cake and eating it. Having it all isn't being a princess and sitting in a public place and demanding that the public don't take pictures of you. Pen and paper exercise. Sit down with yourself today. Take out pen and paper. What do you want for your life? Not what you think you can have. Not what has other people told you you should have. What do you genuinely want for your life? Write that shit down. And then ask yourself, am I willing to become the person who I will need to become in order to make this happen? Am I willing to be fearless? Am I willing to be brave? Am I willing to go internal? Am I willing to be vulnerable? Am I willing to own my shit? And if you are, get in touch. And if you're not, all good. That's fine. Don't beat yourself up about it. There are many things that I could be that I'm not willing to do. I could be anything, but I'm probably not willing. I could run a marathon. I'm not willing to do the training. I don't want to. Sounds shit. And I run every day. I'm still not willing to be a marathon runner. I'm not willing to put myself through that. All good. I could be a size 6. I could have a 6-pack. I'm not willing to go to the gym that much. All good. I'm not going to beat myself up about it. I'm good with it. I'm good with my decision. There is something to be said about making your decision and running with it and not living in the parallel alternative, because that will only cause you pain. Oh yeah, but what if I had, what if I'd never left that guy? Or we might be married by now, or you might not be. You might be in a fucking shitty, horrible relationship, so there's probably a reason you left it in the first place. Oh, what if I hadn't been made redundant? But you were. So why are you wasting your time and your energy imagining a life that is no longer possible, as opposed to imagining what is possible and going and becoming the person that's going to make that happen? Fucking make your decision and stick with it. Make the most of it. That's my little rant. That was really ranty. Oh, I don't really know why, but there we are. That was my rant for today. I trust that it has served. Trust it's exactly what you wanted to hear. You cannot have it all, but equally, you can also have it all. I really highly suggest that everyone goes out and reads Everything I Know About Love by Dolly Alton, because it's bloody brilliant. And I do not highly recommend that we all go and follow Piers Morgan, even though he made a fair point in the Meghan Markle Wimbledon debate. That's just my personal opinion. Do what you want. Let's finish on an unashamedly human moment. This one has come in from Susie, not her real name, in Sydney, and it goes like this. Hi, Em. Thank you so much for your podcast. I'm loving it, loving the unashamedly humanness of it. I had an unashamedly human moment the other day when I went out for dinner with my girlfriends. We sat down in a nice Italian restaurant. The waiter came over. He was friendly and flirty. I flashed him my best smile. I flicked my hair, and my girlfriends all agreed that he was probably going to give me his number. I was in the middle of a sneezing fit when the waiter came back with our meals. He said, bless you. I said, thank you. He put down our meals. He said, enjoy your dinner. I said, you too. When I realized my mistake, I started laughing. But because I was nervous, I ended up snorting out of my nose. Because of the sneezing fit, I dislodged a big booger and it fell out of my nose and hit my carbonara with a thud. He saw it. He turned. He walked away. He never gave me his number. Susie, that is such a beautiful, unashamedly human moment. Well done on sharing it. Thank you, because it helps everybody else in the world feel less of a twat. And if you have got an unashamedly human moment that you would like to share, I promise to keep it anonymous, just email info at emilychadbourne.com, or you can send me a DM on Instagram, Emily_thatcrazythingcalledlife. If you are looking for a community of women who uplift and love and support each other, head over to my free Facebook group, That Crazy Thing Called Life. And if you haven't joined Wake Up With Em yet, what you doing? What's that about then? Why would you not want to spend $7, that's two lattes, ladies, $7, on making sure that every single day you start your day with a positive affirmation, a positive note, a positive text message, a positive thought of purpose and abundance and joy from me personally to your phone, telling you how great you are. First month is for free, so you can give it a bash. And if you think it's shit, then you can cancel and you won't have paid a cent. Worth a shot, I say. Right. Thank you very much for listening. Please, if you have loved this podcast, rate it on iTunes. Helps other people find and consume this content. Spotify, my website, YouTube, all of those places. Do me a favor, share it with your friends, share it with your colleagues, share it with your mum, share it with your sister, share it with Jane down the road. Hell, you could even share it with the weird, dodgy woman at the bus stop. Use the hashtag #unashamedlyhuman on social media. And thank you very much for listening.